This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Felix Leit, CBS News, Moscow Times, is traveling. He's in Istanbul, reflecting upon the events of these last hours and days, turning on the crisis in Ukraine. But all of Europe is now plunged into the unknown because of a decision made, we can presume, in Moscow to cut the Gazprom natural gas deliveries to Poland and Bulgaria. The reason given has to do with the ruble and a law and a provocation. But the larger story here is this is no longer about Ukraine suffering the aggression. It's all of Europe now facing an uncertainty of the price of natural gas, the price of everything, and the euro hitting a five-year low. Already the talk of recession was in the land. However, now, Felix, a very good day to you in Istanbul. This decision by Moscow, by Gazprom, to cut natural gas, is it a surprise to you and the Moscow Times? Have you been watching this story building to use natural gas as a weapon? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. You know, to be quite frank, you know, one could see this coming, you know, from the first, on both sides of the divide there in Europe and in Russia. There's been an awareness that sort of gas and sort of hydrocarbon exports more generally have taken on that sort of geopolitical significance, right? You know, today we've seen Russia say it's going to cut off supplies to a couple of European countries, Poland and Bulgaria. You know, Poland, of course, had already actually said that it was going to completely end and indeed outlaw any Russian fossil fuel exports by the end of the year. So, you know, we're talking, you know, in many ways, this was a little bit of a done deal, at least in the case of Poland. You know, I think this move today, though, is best seen as kind of a warning shot, sort of one sort of shot over the bows towards countries like Italy and Germany, of course, much more influential players within the EU, ones that are much more, of course, dependent upon natural gas, upon Russian natural gas, indeed, than the EU norm, and ones that have been particularly resistant to sort of getting tough on Russian gas imports. You know, it's hard to sort of predict the future, but I do think we're moving towards a position where, you know, it may become untenable for the EU to be effectively sort of locked in a proxy war with Russia while also sort of, you know, financing the Russian state coffers to the tune of sort of $750 billion US dollars a day. So, I think this is part of a sort of an ongoing story, and it's one that I think will quite possibly come to a head in the next few weeks and months.
Something needs an interpretation. The headline in the Moscow Times, Russia swaps ex-US Marine Reed, the man's name is Trevor Reed, who was sentenced in Moscow for brawling, for attacking a police officer during what you'd have to say exuberant festivities, exchanged for a Russian prisoner who was held for charges also not related to war, charges having to do with smuggling, I believe, or drugs in some fashion. This exchange, is this outside of diplomacy, or does this indicate there is diplomatic conversation going on? Can you tell, Felix?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting story because, you know, this was one of the stories sort of that was very much in the agenda for sort of Russian U.S. relations before February the 24th, as in before the start of the war. You know, this was one of the issues that sort of the Biden administration and the Russians had been sort of quite, you know, it signaled some optimism about getting these two guys, this one American and also, of course, the other American, I forget his name, but another sort of former Marine veteran who's serving time in a Russian prison right now. There was sort of ideas of a prisoner swap going on. To be quite frank, when I heard that this was happening, you know, in the context of the war, I was rather astonished. It does signal, I suppose, that there is some kind of, you know, under the bonnet diplomacy going on, I suppose, right now, you know, aside from the sort of the war in Ukraine.
We have a new story, which is a long-standing conflict that has not come to the attention of the United States or Europe until now. Transnistria. Transnistria is a breakaway segment of Moldova. Moldova is now under serious concern because of the possibility of provocations leading to intervention. Is that story in Moscow a big story, that Transnistria is threatened or in some way is going to fall into the Ukraine war? How is it approached by Russian media?
Yeah, you know, I think certainly this is something the Russian media have been playing up in the last sort of week or so. You know, it was really, I think on about Monday this week, it was really the sort of the top item on the news. You know, this idea that sort of Transnistria might come into play, might, you know, play a role in the war in Ukraine. The thing with Transnistria, though, you know, in many ways it does fit with this idea of sort of Russia trying to, you know, as it sees it, sort of protect Russia. Speakers and indeed Russian citizens overseas, especially in these sort of, you know, breakaway republics, be it Transnistria, be it Donetsk, be it Lugansk. But, you know, one has to remember, I think, in the specific case of Transnistria, is that its military significance would be quite limited. You know, it is, you know, got a very strategic location, sort of right on the Ukrainian border, on that western Ukrainian border, only about 50 miles from Odessa. But, you know, the number of actual Russian soldiers in Transnistria is vanishingly small. We're talking perhaps 100 individual personnel, right? So this is not a large garrison that could be sort of ordered onto offensive maneuvers at any moment. You know, the fact that I think Transnistria is being brought into play is probably more a case sort of psychological warfare than anything, perhaps trying to get the Ukrainians to station a few more troops on that western border rather than in the Donbass, something like that. And, you know, I don't think anyone seriously would imagine that any sort of meaningful offensive is going to come out of Transnistria anytime soon. Although I would say that sort of the nature of what we're seeing now, you know, the Transnistrian authorities and the Russian side saying that sort of there have been terrorist attacks in Transnistria and blaming Ukraine, is very, very ominously similar, I think, to what we saw back in February and sort of what the Donetsk and Lugansk authorities were saying way back when. So I think this is something that we need to watch very, very closely.
The losses in Ukraine are piling up for the Russians. Some of the of the reporting is clear to the Russian public. But Felix, I've been told in the last week that presented to the Russian public is not this is a war or a special military operation in Ukraine. What this is a war with NATO. Is that said out loud on television, war with NATO?
Yeah, you know, I think there's certainly a presentation of this conflict as sort of something that goes beyond Ukraine. You know, this was something that had to be done to sort of stop the US and NATO sort of achieving sort of, you know, world dominance at the expense of Russia. You know, this kind of, you know, standard nonsense from Russian propaganda, I'm afraid. You know, and this is something that's that is coming into the sort of the discourse in Russia. You know, I think there is a side of the Russian establishment, the sort of the hardliner side, the hawks, if you like, in the Kremlin, who are really trying to push for escalation. You know, they see the failures of the Russian war effort as linked to the fact that this was sort of not waged, I suppose, thoroughly enough, this war, and that it needs to be waged more thoroughly in order to stand a realistic chance of victory. And I think that sort of wing of the Kremlin, which is a very influential one and which Putin is, you know, arguably himself a part of, is probably, you know, gaining in influence, gaining in clout at the moment.
Gaining in clout because as the casualties climb, you need larger and larger explanation for what we're achieving here. Transnistria
would
not be an adequate war goal to even Moldova would not be adequate. This is a large, the number of officers lost already is appalling, and the Russian public must understand something large is happening.
Well, of course, you know, and it will only, and this will only become a sort of a more acute dilemma. You know, you have to wonder, right, you know, when you're a Russian citizen, a supporter of the war effort, when you see things like the Black Sea flagship being, you know, sunk, you know, with potentially dozens of young men lost, you know, this is not the special operation we signed up for, as it were.
Felix Leit, CBS News, Moscow Times. He's traveling. He's in Istanbul. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.